You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Well, good morning. Okay, our scripture reading is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, Father God, we pray that you ask a blessing to the reading of your holy word. For this is in Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this beautiful day. We're mindful, Lord, when we begin to see it, that you are the creator of all that there is. We praise you for that. We marvel at your handiwork. We glorify you as we see how magnificent things are that are around us. Most of the time, Father, those things are okay. The last couple of days, we've had some tornadoes here, and some people have suffered some damage. Sometimes, Father, things are not okay even in ourselves. And so we pray, Father, that this time as we come aside here to worship you, and as we look into your word, that your word do its effect in our heart and in our life to heal those areas that might have been damaged, and to lift up those areas that need encouragement, and to fan the little embers that burn of those areas that need to be praised. And in mind, as we're mindful and thoughtful of Mother's Day, Father, we particularly pray that this lesson be a blessing for them, and that your Spirit encourage them through your word. And we thank you, Father, as you meet their need. So we ask you to help us be attentive now as we learn more about your Son and your great love as we study the word. And this we pray in Christ Jesus' name. And for his sake, amen. Mother's Day seems like it should be a day of peace and tranquility. It's really not, is it? It's just about like any other day. You got to get up and you got to get the kids dressed and you got to get yourself ready, and there's so much preparation. It's really not that easy. And there are a lot of thoughts. There's a lot of emotions that are evoked on a day like Mother's Day, as there are on any holiday. Some of the things that I remember, or that I got off the internet, that somebody said my mother taught me. He said she taught me religion when she said, "You better pray that will come out of the carpet." She taught me how to be a contortionist when she said, "Will you look at that dirt on the back of your neck?" She even taught me about the weather when she said, "This room of yours, it looks as if a tornado went through it." And then my mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait until we get home. Mother's Day is a fun time. It's a time that we all reflect upon because we all have dear and deep feelings about our mother. And it's a time when we do a lesson or a service that you wonder, why would I pick the subject of Sarah? Would we have Eunice or Lois, or we have Hannah, or we have other mothers that we could pick from Scripture that we have so many times before? But there's something that just stuck in my craw about Sarah. And the first thing is, you know, when you stop and think about Sarah, Sarah is the mother of all Israelites. Just like Eve is the mother of all mankind, Sarah, and that's an honor in and of itself, Sarah bore Isaac. Isaac and his wife Jacob, and Jacob the 12 tribes, and there we have Israel. It began with Abraham and Sarah. And here's another thing that got my attention. The verse we read today. Do you know what this chapter is? It's the faith chapter. She's the first woman mentioned in the faith chapter. And I thought, that's a very interesting position. That's really one of notoriety. You got to pay attention to that. I mean, if you're a student of Scripture, things like that catch your attention. God just didn't kind of throw this together. You know, God, His Word as His works is perfect. And so there's something about Sarah that needs to be
understood. And I try to understand her. We don't have much of her. You know who Sarah is over? She's eclipsed by her husband, Abraham. Which is not that uncommon. The husband usually is the one who has more of the limelight. But particularly Abraham. Here's Abraham, the quintessential father who has the magnificent home, and God chose him. He's set apart in and of himself. And here his wife, too, should be set apart. But trying to come to understand Sarah, and I've got four things I want you as mothers, and this is not just for mothers, because you know this is about godliness. And this helps us understand godliness. Now, you and I, when we think of godliness, there's this big pillar, and there's this virtuous, dignified, noble person up on top. I mean, really, it's unattainable. But yet, you know, when we deal with godliness, we need to understand that godliness, when it's applied to us, takes a lot of things into account. You know, God doesn't expect us to live that life up there on that pedestal. We can't live that life up on that pedestal. He knows that. That's why He's always alongside of us to help us. He knows we're going to fall. He knows we're going to falter. He knows we have feet of clay. And when we fall down into that miry clay, He's there to pick us up. There is a lesson here for all of us about godliness, and I have four things I want, particularly for you mothers, to give you. But before that, I want to understand Sarah. I mean, Sarah was a beautiful woman. She was an attractive woman, even in her old age. We don't get to know Sarah until all of a sudden in Genesis 12, God calls Abraham out of Ur and says, bring your wife. And I want to take you to Canaan, God tells him. And he takes his wife, and she's about 65 years old. She's an older lady, but even in her old age, she's a beautiful woman. You remember twice, Abraham had to call her his sister because he was afraid that if he were known or she were known as his wife, that they would kill him. First in Egypt and then in the south, they would kill him in order to take her because she was very, very attractive. She was a beautiful, beautiful woman. She had a physical beauty that would, if she walked into the room today, we would turn and look at her. Not always a great characteristic. It has its downfall. It has its bad side. It has also the characteristic of a gift of God that none of us can take credit for. Beauty is something that you are as God made you. You can't, if you've got a nose like Pinocchio, you can't change that. You can try to put all the makeup on that you want. But beauty fades. And as you get older and older and older, the makeup and the coloring of the hair, as you lose it and as you get wrinkles, you can't cover it up. There is another beauty that Sarah portrays. Turn to 1 Peter and look at this with me in chapter 3. There's another beauty that Sarah portrays that catches my attention, because the outward beauty of being gorgeous and being attractive is never one that you want to be substantially the most important characteristic in your life. It's the inward beauty that counts. It's that other beauty of the soul that needs to be nourished and fostered, if that's the right word. In chapter 3, look in verse 3. Speaking of a chaste woman whose conduct will lead her lost and unbelieving husband to the Lord, God has Peter write, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting or the braiding of the hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel, Now, understand, I'm not saying that stuff is wrong. I don't think God is saying that. I think what God said is exactly what He said. Don't let it just be this. Don't let it just be the outward, because the inward beauty is so much more important. Verse 4, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. When God has blessed you with a beauty or a talent or something that's unique, did you hear that quote of the day? You are unique, just like everyone else is. But when God does give you a uniqueness, you need to praise God for it. You need to give God the credit for it. You need to thank Him and then to ask Him to sanctify it by the Spirit for the Master's use. Oh, how many people have we seen lose their way because of this unique characteristic of beauty that God has given them, because they've never cultivated the beauty of the soul, the inwardness that is so important. How many times have we read in Scripture, time after time, that a person in their strongest point is exactly where they feel God the most? And you think, I mean one thing by that, but I mean another, because when I feel God, it's usually when I feel Him as a grape feels the thumb and the finger squeezing and squeezing and squeezing to get the goodness out of it. What a challenge that is in life. Be very careful to have beauty of body and not to have it accompanied by the beauty of the soul. The one will fade quickly. The other will pay great dividends time and time again. The second thing about Sarah, as I began to read about her and study her, and as you know her, you'll understand this too. Sarah was a submissive woman. And submission is a great Christian character. We're all to be submitted one to another. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, children to parents. Submission, in a scriptural sense, is a wonderful Christian characteristic to have. But it's not a blank check like some people think it might be. I mean, it's really not. And a wife, when she is confronted by her husband to be submissive in an area that is out of the will of God, needs to double check that. Sarah was not. She faltered in this, not once, but twice, and I mentioned them earlier, when she was asked by him to lie for him. And even though it wasn't a full lie, it was a half-truth, because, you know, Sarah was a half-sister of Abraham. And so when Abraham said, Sarah, tell Pharaoh that you're my sister, it wasn't entirely false. It just was kind of, what do we call them? Just a little white lie. It was a half-truth. God doesn't like that. God doesn't like that. And God judges us for doing that. And so when your husband, when he steps out of the will of God, and you know he's out of the will of God, you cannot allow your submission to him to follow along in those lines. There are many areas where Sarah followed Abraham. She followed him from Ur to Canaan. She stuck by him. She followed him, and I believe she came to know the Lord through him. I do not believe she knew the Lord until she met her husband Abraham and God called him. And I think that's wonderful that she came to know God and know him in his faithfulness and in a life of faithfulness through her husband. Now, I think it's wonderful for children to come to know the Lord by the faithfulness of their father and the faithfulness of their mother. But submission has got to be along the lines of the Lord. You have got to maintain your moral purity and your consciousness. Submission to God was a characteristic Sarah had. You know, Sarah was submitted. We know this because God gave her no children, and yet she was still one of God's children, even in her own life. God gave her no children, which in that time and in that period was a shame. But yet she was still submitted to God, and I can't imagine as she walked around without a child, seeing so many who had children, even the enemies of God, in the lands where they traveled had children, their families had children, and she had no children. In her heart, I cannot help but imagine that as she walked around, she said, God doeth all things well. She was submitted to God, and for the most part, her submission went well. I say for the most part, because it wasn't always. It wasn't always. See, there is a side of Sarah that I think is something that's common to all of us. She was at times impulsive and self-asserting. And sad to say, at some of these times, it was one of the most important times of her life. When she was not submitted to her husband, and when she was not submitted to God, that she exerted her impulsiveness and she exerted herself assertiveness. And it was in that time of her childlessness when she would not wait upon him. Knowing that her husband had been given the promise of the seed that would be counted as multitudinous as the stars and the sands on the shore, she still wanted to take the bull by the horns. She still wanted to accomplish what God was going to accomplish, but in her own way and in her own will. And what a tragedy that is. What a tragedy that is, because it has an application to us. There are times when a man or a woman who is in the image or being conformed to the image of Christ, trusting the Lord, walking in faith in the Lord, giving over to God your will and your own opportunity to make decisions about great things in life. When you begin to take charge, and in a moment of impulsiveness, and in a moment of self-assertiveness, even in a moment of rebellion, you introduce into your life a river that will run long and deep. And Sarah did that. You know what I'm talking about. She commanded her maidservant, Hagar, to go lie with her husband. Her husband didn't want to, but she talked him into it. It was not uncommon at that time. It was part of their culture. If there was not a seed in the family, that one of the maidservants, he could marry again. And she would still be the mother of the home and she would raise the child, but no, didn't turn out that way. There was envy when Ishmael was born. And Hagar had an attitude. Sarah didn't like it. But oh my goodness, how deep did that run? That great tragedy for being impulsive at a moment. It's not just women, it's men. Great men of God impulsive at one moment. And what a downfall in their life. Great Christian men and women. Not waiting on the Lord. And what a tragedy it causes. We need to be very careful. Let me say this again. We need to be very careful, if we are saved, to always give over to the will of God. Christ gave us that example. He came to do what? The will of the Father. When he was in the garden, the challenge, the greatest moment of his life, his physical life, when he cried that this cup might be
taken away. But yet not his will, but God's will be done. Another thing, she was an attractive woman. She was a submissive woman. But yet she was an impulsive woman, and we find in her relationship with Hagar, she was a vindictive woman. Why? I don't know. Circumstances, situations, attitudes. She was a woman, probably, as best I can tell as I read the scriptures, whose character evidenced a feeling of inferiority. Perhaps because the barren womb was more important to her than the promise of God. She was a woman who had a built-in insecurity. And these two things, inferiority and insecurity, will often lead to offensiveness and being offended. And Hagar offended her. And she became so vindictive, casting her out, that she almost drove this woman, whom I might add, she talked into this situation. She almost drove her to commit suicide. Turn with me to James. Just another, if you're still there, in Peter, just one book before, in chapter 3. When a person who is hurt and who is easily offended because of these problems in their character, when they are hurt, they will lash out, just like a tigress. She lashed out at Hagar. And oh, how important it is to keep that under control, the mouth, the tongue. God talks to us about it in James chapter 3. He says in verse 8, "But the tongue, can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we bless God, even the Father, and with the tongue we curse men who are made after the image of God." We must be careful when we are feeling inadequate, when we're feeling inferior, when we're feeling insecure. We must be careful not to say things that are hurtful and mean. She was a beautiful woman, submissive woman. She was impulsive, vindictive. But yet, this is the mother of Israel. This is the first woman found in the chapter of faith. And I think it teaches us something about the goodness of God. I think it shows to us that our God is a great God. He forgives sin. Think about that. Let this picture of Sarah, you know, mom, all the problems that there are in raising children, such an emotional makeup that God has given you. You don't understand it sometimes. You older women know hot flashes, the younger ones to come. You don't know why. This uniqueness that God has given to you that sets you apart to bear children, to love them, to nurture them, to be with them in the home is beautiful. Don't let mistakes and error and faltering and failure override every wonderful thing that you do. Let Sarah be an example that even people who make great mistakes like Sarah, God loves you. God has a great desire to bear you. He has a great desire to fulfill His promise for you. And so let me get to the four things. To be the best mom, if I may, B-E-S-T, be bold in your witness. Proverbs chapter 1 talks about children
Listen to the law of the mother. The law there is the word Torah. You have the responsibility to teach them who God is. In the beginning, start there. God created the heavens and the earth. And when you get to Deuteronomy, don't let up. Behold, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And the fact that these commandments that you teach them, these statutes, these laws, are so critical for their life. And to do it early. So, to be the best mom, first, be bold in your witness to your children about who God is and how important He is in your life. Second, be an encouragement in your walk. Encourage them. There's so many ways that a child can walk. And they're going to try them. They're going to make those mistakes. We all did. But God, what a demonstration. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. Be an encouragement as you walk with them to teach them the right path. To show them that there is the way that is wicked and the way that is good, and teach them to embrace the good in order that they might have life. So be bold in your witness. Be encouraging in your walk. Be strong in your weakness. That time when God challenges, or you are challenged, and God allows you to be challenged by the thing that is really not turned over to Him, has not been committed to Him, is not in His hand. That place where you begin to falter and you sink as Peter sank in the water. Be strong at that moment in your life. Remember the beauty of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 was vain and deceitful. But a woman who fears God, that is the key. She is the one who is praised. So be bold in your witness. Be encouraging in your walk. Be strong in your moment of weakness. And be tender in your willfulness. Be tender in your willfulness. You know, particularly you mothers who had children who were willful, or who are willful, you cannot let them have their way. You have to teach them. You have to be stronger in your will than they are. Turn back to Hebrews 11. I remind you that fathers are told not to provoke their children to wrath, not mothers, but yet it's patrias, or it could be the family unit, and I've talked to you about that before when it's talked about. But mothers generally don't have that inclination. They have that perseverance, that long-suffering. They have that patience, and they can exercise that tenderness in difficult times, but they must maintain their willfulness over the child's willfulness. Sarah, I love this last phrase of Hebrews 11:11, and I haven't done much in the Scriptures. We've just looked at a couple of places, and there's a whole story about Sarah we could go to in Genesis 12 and 13, 14, and studying about her and her relationships. But one thing that caught my attention is at the end of verse 11. It says that she judged him, God, faithful, who had promised, never giving up, never failing in her relationship with him. Oh, she failed him many times in her relationship with others. But she never, never failed in her relationship with him. He will never, ever fail you. Let's pray. Father, it's ground that we can all walk on, every man and every woman, every boy, every girl. It's that ground of godliness that leads us to Christ. We're being conformed to His image. None of us have ever been there. We're just moving towards that. Each of us having special needs and particular desires and wants with what You've blessed us with. May we always recognize how loving and merciful You are
how forgiving you are, how encouraging you are, how much you have blessed us, and how much you're going to bless us because you're faithful to that promise. We thank you, Father, as this builds us up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray this in His name. Amen. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.